As this ongoing crisis shutters small businesses for the foreseeable future, restaurants have been among the hardest hit. While many have adapted to takeout-only models to stay afloat, some simply cannot afford to keep their doors open as business grinds to a virtual halt. HPR reporter Ryan Finnerty spoke with news director Bill Dorman about the bleak future for many of Hawaii's eateries.
There are around 85,000 food service employees in Hawaii, which works out to be around 13% of all workers in the state. So this is a very significant chunk of the economy and of the workforce. And also of note is that food service jobs make up a greater share of Hawaii's workforce than in other states, primarily due to the importance of tourism in our economy. So we have more restaurant workers than other states do as a share of our labor force.
Makes sense.
And since restaurants have been ordered to close, that makes Hawaii's economy more vulnerable to this type of protracted shutdown that we're currently experiencing. And it might seem like ancient history, but it's been less than a month since Governor Ige and county mayors have issued stay-at-home orders that shuttered most businesses. Restaurants have really started feeling that. University of Hawaii economist Peter Falecki analyzed data from the website Open Table, which does restaurant reservations and restaurant traffic, and he found that traffic to Honolulu restaurants was down by 100% compared to March of last year, which makes sense because those businesses have been closed to dining in. So coffee shops and restaurants, as most people probably know, have been allowed to stay open for takeout only. Falecki took a look at that, and he says that it's a lifeline for some businesses, and it will favor establishments that already focused on takeaway meals as their primary business model, businesses whose customers are already conditioned for that type of system. But it will be harder for restaurants that are focused on sit-in dining to pivot. They kind of have to adjust their business model and their workflow to meet that, and their customers are not necessarily mentally primed to think about those restaurants or those establishments in that way. But he said another issue is that the takeout-only model will not just affect businesses, it will also affect workers at those businesses in unequal ways.
So if you're working in the kitchen, then you might be able to continue to cook the meals if people keep ordering and they stop by and pick it up. At the same time, the waiters, the staff that was serving the meals, they are not needed in this setting, so their jobs are at the greater risk.
And Bill, his predictions seem to be bearing out. I've spoken with several business owners in the restaurant industry, and the ones whose business was already takeaway or, you know, kind of not dining in, they seem to be doing okay. One owner in particular, he operates a bakery in Kaimuki. They never had on-site dining. It was always same-day sales straight to customers. All they did was stand up an online ordering system for their customers so people don't have to come in and line up, and their businesses continued with only a little bit of disruption. But when we look at traditional dine-in restaurants, they're really feeling the squeeze of the social distancing measures. I talked with Natalie Tu. Her family owns and operates a Thai food restaurant in Kaimuki. Their business is down by as much as 90% with only their really loyal customers coming in for takeout. And I spoke with her right before rent was due on their commercial space on the restaurant. And she told me they weren't going to make it, but they plan to stay open anyway.
I would just pay whatever I have. If we closed, there would be zero or even minus because we still have to pay the rent. Yeah, but if we keep open, at least we have some
something coming.
It's better than nothing.
And as we've been hearing, Bill, this doesn't really show any signs of ending anytime soon. We know it's going to be at least until the end of April, another month. So a lot of these restaurant businesses are really in trouble already.
And Ryan, that really stretches, as you point out, in terms of the restaurant business going to folks like landlords, because the interconnection of the economy, the woman having trouble paying rent to the landlord then has trouble meeting whatever revenue projections he or she is assuming, and it's a continuing cycle like that.
Yeah, I think it is worth noting landlords kind of get a bad rap often in discourse, and especially when it comes to issues like this. The policy focus tends to be on bans or postponements on evictions, pauses on mortgages, forgiveness on that kind of thing. But everybody owes it to somebody, right? Somebody's paying a mortgage most of the time if it's a commercial property. And so that means somebody's losing money if it's not getting paid. And it's either going to be the bank that has to eat it, or perhaps the federal government has to cover the cost. So there is really a trickle down through this. And a lot of these businesses are not necessarily going to be able to get help from the CARES Act, this federal rescue package that was passed. I was speaking with another University of Hawaii economist earlier today, Sumner LaCroix, and he pointed out that there are a lot of conditions on the aid money, these low or no interest loans that are available to businesses, things like keeping your employees on the payroll for a certain amount of time. And he pointed out that some of those conditions are not really going to be conducive for the restaurant industry in particular, especially if your main expense is rent, because the way that law is written, it's providing financial assistance for payroll, to pay your employees. But if your main expense as a business is your rent, then you may not really be able to take full advantage of that, and it may make more sense, as he pointed out, to furlough or lay off your employees and close down or go down to a skeleton crew, and then you're not keeping people employed. So it's really a very difficult problem for this particular industry.
And as with a lot of this, and I know UHERA, the University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization, continues to do research into this, but it is a moving target. There's talk already in terms of another package on the federal level designed to help small business, because this moves very quickly. And for a lot of small businesses, they don't have a lot of breathing room on this, such as restaurants.
Yeah, and that's what Sumner LaCroix, who I spoke with earlier, pointed out, is that he thinks, and as do many other economists, that there will need to be a second rescue package at some point in the future. There were federal government, Congress allocated $350 billion for these small business loans, and it's on a first-come, first-served basis. So we won't really know for a couple of weeks how far that's going to get us. But yeah, it's very likely that as this pandemic continues to roll through the country and affect different regions and different cities at different rates and at different points of time, that there may need to be another substantial amount of money set aside by Congress to help businesses and individuals get through this.
We'll keep an eye on that and keep an eye on how that affects Hawaii as well.